Hi, you're now listening to a sermon from Harvest Community Church in Hoffman Estates, Illinois. We're happy to bring you sermons like this one every week. You can find other sermons at our site at harvest-community.org. So without further ado, here's our speaker.
Well, thank you, everybody. Thank you for your warm welcome. And before I begin, I just want to say a couple things about our relationship together as two churches. You know, it's like Ben just said, I've been around vocational ministry for 33 years. And one of the things I hate to see is when churches don't get along very well. And sometimes that happens. And but our relationship between Waterfront Community Church and you wonderful people at Harvest Community has been simply amazing. And I just want to thank you all for your spirits, for your love of Christ, for the fact that you allow us to be here on Saturday nights and mess up your building. And but we so appreciate everything that you have done over these past couple years. And it's been a pleasure to get to know Pastor Dave and Pastor Frank and the rest of the team. Audrey's been amazing. She's come and led worship for us a few times on Saturday night. And so I just simply want to say thank you to Harvest Community Church for your heart, for your spirit, for your soul. And with that, I would like to pray before I begin the message. Lord, this morning it just struck me that your church met in this room last night. And your church is meeting right now in this room. And your church is meeting in Albania and all places all over the world. And Lord, tonight we just want to give you gratitude and praise, and we just want to thank you for who you are. And now, Lord, I just pray that you would just take this next few minutes and teach us, guide us, open our minds, open our hearts to whatever it is you want us to learn. And the speaker that stands on this stage is a man who's he's got a sinful past. His sins are many. Father, I just pray that you would just get him out of the way so that everyone here can hear your voice, feel your love and your touch, and that by the time we walk out of this building, we'll be different, we'll be changed, we'll be new. And so we pray all this in your awesome and wonderful name. Amen. To start off, I want to ask you a question, and I want to raise a hands, if you don't mind. By a raise of hands, how many of you believe in the power of prayer? Raise your hand way up high. Go ahead. Yeah, look at that, almost every hand. Now go ahead, put them down. Now let me ask you another question. How many of you think that maybe I should be praying more? Raise your hands. Go ahead, put them up. Look at that, it's almost the same people. Isn't that ironic? We believe in the power of prayer. But most of us would sit and go, Lord, I don't know why I don't pray more. Well, I'm going to get to that in a second. But today we're going to look at the book of Jonah. And my guess, probably most of you within the sound of my voice have heard this story many times. And as a teacher, sometimes it's dangerous to try and teach people something that they've already heard, that they're very familiar with. But hang with me today. Because I really believe God has something to say to all of us this morning. We're going to be mostly in Jonah chapter 2. But just to get us all on the same page, because I don't know who knows the story and who doesn't know the story, we're going to start in Jonah chapter 1. And in Jonah chapter 1, we find this very reluctant prophet of God. Jonah 1:1 says these words, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness had come up before me." God said to Jonah, go to Nineveh. Go to Nineveh, which in today's, it's somewhere around Mosul, Iraq, is where Nineveh would be. He said, go and preach to them because I see their wickedness. And Jonah is very reluctant, and he just doesn't want to go. And the reason behind his rejection of what God wants isn't because he's afraid of the people of Nineveh What he's afraid of is he knows God's character. God's character is gracious, is loving, and forgiving. And he doesn't want his enemies to experience the great love of God. So God says, go. And Jonah says, no. Jonah ran as far as he possibly could. He goes down to a town called Joppa. It's a harbor town where he buys a ticket to get on a boat and go as far as he possibly could to a city called Tarshish, which is very far away. I believe we have a map up here on the screen. If you see, here's what I'm talking about. If you look on the far right hand, the second dot to the right, that's Joppa. That's where he jumps on the ship. To go to Nineveh was 550 miles. So it's not that big of a trip. But Tarshish is way over here, 2,500 miles. The red line on that map is basically the civilized world of that day. So he's basically going as far as he possibly could to get away from God's calling on his life. And here's the first truth I want to give you tonight, today, this morning. If you want to run from God, the devil always offers you a ride. If you want to run from God, the devil is always offering you a ride. If you want to run from God, you can always find a boat sailing in the wrong direction. So why did the prophet run? He ran because he didn't want Nineveh to receive God's grace, forgiveness, and love. So Jonah gets on the boat, begins his sailing, his trip to Tarshish. And you know the story probably. God sends this big storm. I mean, it's hurricane strength winds. The boat begins to be torn apart. Jonah admits to the sailors that it's his fault. It's his fault. Just throw me in. And we see this next. He says, then they took Jonah, threw him overboard, and the raging sea calmed. These pagan sailors throw the God-worshipping Jonah into the sea, and the sea's calm. Imagine that moment. Imagine you're there. Imagine seeing that. Seas don't just calm like that. Seas don't go from a raging storm to complete calmness. But then, in the middle of this raging storm, we feel calm. But then, look what happens next. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. I just want you to understand this. Jonah is the world's worst evangelist. He runs from God, a catastrophe hits, he gets thrown off a boat, and somehow a church service breaks out on the ocean. These pagan sailors see the miraculous calming of the sea. And they say to themselves, any God that can do that? Any God that can do that? That's the God we want. That's the God we want to know. That's the God we want to worship. That's the God we want to fear. That's the God we want to obey. And the church service breaks out. If you've ever had low expectations for your own ability to be used by God, take comfort. Because God once used a man that was drowning in the Mediterranean Sea as his outreach strategy to bring people to him. Let me ask you, Harvest, have you ever run from God? Was there a day when you felt so alive in him, but for whatever reason, you have turned away? If so, this morning I have some good news for all of you. Let me tell you about the one true God, our gracious, loving, all-powerful God. Let me tell you about the goodness of God. The Bible tells us he's our refuge and our strength. He's the ever-present help when we're in trouble. His name is a fortified tower, and the righteous can run to it and be safe. The Bible tells us he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. He will deliver you from all your fears. He's a compassionate God. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up wounds. God is also a generous God. He will meet all your needs according to the glorious riches that are found in Christ Jesus. And just like the sailors on the ship, we discover that our God is a God that you want to know, you want to worship, you want to fear, and you want to obey. Then chapter 1 ends like this. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Chapter 1, Jonah runs from God, and he goes down, 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 and ends up in the belly of a fish. Chapter 2, we see Jonah reach out in prayer to his God. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. Now, let's go back and look again at the very first verse. The very last verse of chapter 1 again. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. Now, let's just all be real for a second. You're on a cruise ship, and something happens to you, and you fall off the ship. The last thing you probably want is a big fish to come along. You probably will ask the Lord to provide, but you want, Lord, provide me a life jacket. Provide me a speedboat. Provide me a nearby island, or provide me even a mermaid. But imagine you're overboard and you see a giant fish coming your way. And something like a whale swallows you whole. This doesn't feel like good news, does it? This feels like punishment. God, why are you letting this happen? God, why are you punishing me? Maybe you think, like I used to think, that pain is always punishment. To Jonah, the big fish seemed like nothing but a problem. I didn't want this, he says. I don't want this. I didn't ask for it. But sometimes what we call a problem, God calls provision. Sometimes God may provide in ways that we didn't choose and we didn't expect. So, God provides. God provides a great fish to swallow Jonah. That wasn't Jonah's plan. He never expected to be fish food today. This isn't what I wanted. My guess for some of you, right now today, you might be in a similar place. You're going through something right now in your life that you would have never chosen. And you ask yourself, how did I get here? I didn't want this to be a part of my marriage. I didn't want to enter into this faith crisis. This isn't what I wanted. I didn't choose to be in the belly of this mess. Well, Jonah and us, through this story, we begin to learn a principle. So often, God doesn't always give us what we want, but God gives us what we need. And what we need most is always Him. From the belly of the fish, Jonah remembered he needed the Lord. Jonah recognized that he needed God, and God always gives us what we need. And what we need most is always Him. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. So the Lord provides this great fish. Jonah is by himself. Imagine that. For 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. And as far as Jonah is concerned, he is about to drown or he is about to be consumed. He is completely helpless. He couldn't do a single thing to save his life. Whatever he was proud about in his life, it couldn't help him. In fact, if you look at 2 Kings, it is recorded that Jonah was advising the king of Israel. He was a great prophet, but that couldn't save him. Let's say he had a great college degree. That couldn't save him. Maybe he had lots of friends on Facebook and Instagram, and all those friends couldn't save him. Maybe he had his financial world all in order. He had money and savings. But guess what? Those bank accounts couldn't save him. Jonah got himself in a place. And maybe some of you are there right now this morning that only God can help him now. On his own, he was completely helpless. But just because Jonah was helpless, it didn't mean he was hopeless. There's a big difference. Just because he was helpless didn't mean he had run out of hope in the God who always gives us what we need. Was Jonah in a mess? Was Jonah in trouble? Absolutely. Yes, he was. Can any of you relate to that this morning? For many of us here today, we may not be in our right spot right now. Things are not going our way. Things are not going the way we had hoped. Maybe your marriage is in trouble. And if God doesn't do something soon, I just don't know what's going to happen. Maybe financially you're in trouble. Maybe you have a health issue. And if God doesn't intervene, again, I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe your children or your grandchildren, they're choosing the wrong path, and you just don't know what to do. No matter where you find yourself this morning, no matter what trouble you find yourself in, whether it's your fault or it's not your fault, the Bible says in the book of James these words, "Is any of you in trouble? Let them pray." Let me say that again. Is any of you in trouble? Let them pray. It's time to pray. It's time to pray. Would you say that with me real quick? It's time to pray. You notice what James doesn't say? He doesn't say these words. He says, it's time to worry. That's not what he says. He doesn't say it's time to complain. He doesn't say it's time to write a really long post on social media about everything that's wrong with this world. And he doesn't say it's time to blame. No, James says when you are in trouble, it's time to pray. So what did Jonah pray when he was in trouble? Well, I can show you exactly what he prayed. Jonah 2:2 says these words. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me from the deep of the realm, the dead, from the deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry." Jonah says, "I called to the Lord. He answered me. You listened to my cry, God. I was in trouble, and God answered me." So verse 1. Jonah starts to pray. Verse 2, Jonah says, "I prayed and God listened. Then the rest of the chapter is all about Jonah's prayer, with the exception of the very last verse in chapter 2. This is what Jonah prayed in the belly of the fish. I want you to listen to these words very closely as I read them to you. "You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas. And the current swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains, I sank down. The earth beneath barred me forever. But you, Lord, my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. What an amazing prayer. What a beautiful prayer. Have you ever experienced, there's people amongst us that really, when they pray, it is so sincere, so authentic. It's very inspiring. They seem to be very spiritual people. On the other hand, there's other people that when they pray, it's not always so authentic. In fact, if you ever met my dad, he's long gone now, but my dad was an awesome man. He was a physical education teacher. He was a coach, coached all kinds of sports. But his most important piece of him was that he had a strong faith in God. But when he prayed at dinner or in public, all of a sudden, King James came out of his mouth. The these, the thous, the henceforths and things. For some of us, including me, prayer can be such a struggle. Our minds drift. We lose our train of thought. I think if some of us are honest about this, it can almost feel like a waste of time. For others, you may say, I just don't know what to pray. One of the most powerful things you can pray is pray God's word. Because that is exactly what Jonah did. When you look at his prayer in John chapter 2, Jonah prayed the Psalms. Look at this. We'll put it up on the screen. Jonah chapter 2, verse 2, he says, I called to the Lord and he answered me. Psalms 3, 4 says, I called out to the Lord and he answered me. Jonah 2 said, deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help. Psalm 16:10 says, you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. Jonah 2:4 says, I have been banished from your sight. Psalm 31 says, I am cut off from your sight. Jonah 2:5 says, the waters closed over me. Psalm 69 says, the waters have come up to my neck. Jonah 2:8 says, those who cling to worthless idols. Psalm 31 says, I hate those who cling to worthless idols. Jonah 2:9 says, what I have vowed, I will make good. Psalm 116 says, I will fulfill my vows to the Lord. When you are in trouble, even when you're not in trouble, it's time to pray. And when you don't know what to pray, pray the word of God. Well, some of you might say, well, I don't know the word that well. Here's a simple tip I want to give you. If you have the YouVersion app on your phone or another Bible app on your phone, all you have to do is go into the search, type in whatever it is you're feeling, fear, worry, depression, anxiety, and up will pop all kinds of verses. And you just begin to pray over his word. And it's right there on your phone or whatever device you're using. And then you just simply take those verses and just start praying. Tonight, this morning, I mean, as you walked in, you received this card. Go ahead and pull this out right now. This is a card that I used in a message many years ago that my wife actually created for me. And it's something I keep hanging in my office right above my computer. I pray for my family and friends using this passage that's out of Ephesians 3. And I just want to demonstrate this to you. This is how I pray over the word using Ephesians chapter 3. And tonight I'm going to use this because I'm going to pray for my wife as we pray here tonight. Just follow along with me. Oh, Father, my God, the creator of everything, out of your glorious, unlimited resources, empower my wife, Kathy, with inner strength through your spirit. May Jesus be home in her heart. May she completely trust in you, Jesus. May her roots grow down deep into God's love and keep her strong. God, help Kathy to understand how wide, how long, how high, how deep your love is for her. May Kathy experience the love of you, Jesus, even though it is too great to understand fully. And Lord, because of all this, may Kathy be complete in the fullness of life and power that only comes from you. And may all the glory go to you, God, you who are able through your mighty power at work in Kathy, and help her to accomplish infinitely more than that what she may ask or think possible. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. How'd that feel? I don't know about you, but when I pray those prayers for my wife, for my kids, for my grandkids, I feel God's power in that. And I encourage you to do the same. But back to the story of Jonah. Do you know what happened to Jonah when he prayed? Nothing. Nothing happened. Jonah cried out to God in verse 1. God heard him. But there was no visible miracle. Verse 1 says Jonah prayed. Verse 2 says Jonah says God listened to him. But we don't see the miracle until verse 10. Have you ever been frustrated by God's timing? I know I have. Can you imagine what Jonah was thinking as he sat there in the dark in the belly of the fish? And that's what makes verse 9 so powerful. Now remember, up until this point, he hasn't experienced a miracle. He doesn't know what's going to happen. But check this out. Verse 9, Jonah says, "But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you." Don't miss this, Harvest. This is praise before the miracle. We know it's easy to praise God after a miracle, but it takes faith to praise God before the provision. Jonah is not praising God for what God has done. He's praising God for who God is. That is a complete different kind of faith. Is there somebody here this morning, right now, who is in the belly of their situation, still waiting, still praying, and you're not seeing any results yet? Today, I believe God is inviting you to a verse 9 kind of faith. You can praise him right now. Not because of things have been resolved, not because the fish opened up, but because you know who he is and you trust that he's working in your life. Jonah continues in this same verse. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. What I have vowed, I will make good. Jonah is owning the mess that he's created. He's not blaming the storm. He's not blaming the sailors. He says, I know what God asked me to do, and I'm going to do it now. Maybe this is a word for someone here today. You know what God's been asking you to do, but you've been avoiding him, or you've been blaming someone else. You've been waiting for just the right circumstances to come about. Well, today is the day to stop making excuses and start making things right. God, whatever you want me to do, the answer is yes. You want me to go? I'll go. You want me to give? I'll give. You want me to repent? I'll repent. You want me to stop sinning sexually? I'm going to stop sinning sexually. You want me to start serving in some way, whether inside the church or outside the church? I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to make it right, and it starts now. Verse 1, Jonah prayed. Verse 9, Jonah praised. And finally, in verse 10, the last verse in chapter 2, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. First of all, that's amazing. I don't know about you, but if I was there, can you imagine seeing that happen? Or can you imagine being Jonah? What that must have been like? So in one, that's amazing, but two, that's gross. If any of you are fishermen, you know what I'm talking about. To be in the belly of a fish for 3 days, oh my goodness. Verse 1, Jonah prayed. Nothing. Verse 2, praying, but nothing. Verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, nothing. Maybe you're someone who's been praying for something for a long time. You've been praying, and you're just not seeing anything. You've been praying for that loved one, yet nothing. Let me remind you, while you're waiting, God is working. Just because you don't see something, it doesn't mean that God is not working. Because at just the right time, God commanded the fish, and the fish vomited Jonah onto dry land. You see, when it's not God's time, you can't force it. But when it's God's time, you can't stop it. Our God is a good God, and our God is always on time. Remember what Jonah said in verse 9 before his rescue? Salvation comes from the Lord. When Jonah didn't deserve it, God saved him. When Jonah couldn't save himself, God saved him. All of this points to our need for Jesus today. Paul writes these words in Romans. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were all sinners, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we didn't deserve it, God sent Jesus. When we couldn't save ourselves, God sent Jesus. So as the worship team comes out, let me wrap up with this. I don't know about you, but maybe you're like me, who's a little bit like Jonah. I've messed up. I've done many things that I am not proud of. I've messed up big time. There have been times when I've simply disobeyed God's command. I didn't trust God's word. And I even dishonored God's name. But just like Jonah, God saved me. In spite of Jonah's attempt to flee God, God still saved Jonah. The fish vomited Jonah up. That's such a gross picture. I just can't imagine that. There was nothing clean about it. Jonah, in all his disgusting mess, stood before a holy God once again and repented. But Jesus, who loves you more than you will ever know, he went to that gross, disgusting cross. There was nothing clean about it. And he paid the ultimate price for you and for me. So, that in our mess, we can stand before a holy God and be forgiven. Please hear me, Harvest. Some of you, I am sure you have been through some stuff. But God is still working. And just like Jonah, he's offering his salvation to you, his plan for you. No matter how messy you are, you just have to receive it. So no matter who you are this morning, no matter what you've done, God has grace for you. And God wants to use you. Paul writes to the people in Ephesus, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Let me ask you tonight, this morning, if you've been running, it's time to come home. If you've been waiting, keep praising. God is still working. And if you've never said yes to Jesus, you just got to simply say yes this morning. Today is your day to receive your Savior who went to the cross for you. So over the next few minutes, I'm just going to say a short prayer here, and then we're just going to give you some time. And I want you to reflect on those three things. Harvest, are you a runner? I mean, just be honest with yourself. Have you been running? It's time to come home. If you've been waiting this morning, keep praising God, because he's still at work, whether you can see it or not. And if you've never said yes to Jesus, make today your day. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this amazing church and these amazing people. And now, Lord, as we take the next few minutes, Lord, go to work. Go to work in our minds. Go to work in our hearts. Go to work in our souls. And we'll trust you for that. We praise this in your great name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the sermon from Harvest Community Church. If you would like more information or have any questions or comments, check out our website at harvest-community.org. Thanks for listening.